Srimad Bhagavatam Granthraja ki jaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, text number 20. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Text number 23. Namo charana mahatmyam. What did they get there? 24. Oh, that's nice. Let's do that then. Eta vatalam angha niraharanya pumsam. Sankirtanam bhagavato ganakkama nam nam. Vikrusha putram bhagavan yad ajmi lopi. Narayaneti vriyamana iyaya muktim. Etavatalam magani haranaya pumsam. Sankirtanam bhagavato gina karma nam nam. Vikrusha putram bhagavanya ajamilhapi. Narayaneti mriyamana iyaya muktim. Itavattalam maganira haranaya pumsam. Sankirtanam bhagavato gnakkarma nam nam. Ikrusha putram agavan yad ajmilopi. Narayaneti mriyamana ya muktim. Etavatta. With this much. Alam sufficient. Aga niharanaiha. For taking away the reactions of sinful activities. Pumsam of human beings. Sankirtanam. Congregational chanting. Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna, the transcendental qualities. Karma nam nam, and of his names according to his activities and pastimes. Vikrusha. It says there, crying to without offense. I have a feeling it might mean trying to without offense. Anyway, without offense. Putram, his son. Agavan, the sinful. Gat, sins. Ajmila api, even Ajmil. Narayana, the Lord's name Narayan. Iti, thus, mriyamanaha, dying, iyaya, achieved, muktim, liberation. Yes, so this, just the background for this verse, just before I read it, is that this is a presented as evidence, this story of the glories of the holy name. And the general background is that a brahmana, a little boy who was born in a family of brahmanas or priests, those who study the scriptures and practice it and teach it, he later grew up and fell down from his strict principles, and he left his wife and married an unchaste woman. And in order to facilitate that relationship, engage in all sorts of sinful actions, very sinful. But at the time that he left this world, one of his sons he had called Narayan, which is the name of the Lord, and as he was dying, he called out to his son again, Narayan. And what happened, of course, was he got the benefit of chanting the holy names of the Lord without offence, and therefore was freed from all sinful reactions. And the different personalities who escort the soul, because after death, as Prabhupada says, we either rise or sink. So the personalities who escort the soul to one of those destinations, the ones that were going to help him to sink due to his sinful activities, they were obstructed by the agents of the Lord, the Vishnu Dutas, who came to say, no, you cannot take this person, he has chanted the holy name of the Lord. And so these verses are discussing that point. Therefore, it should be understood that one is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of the Lord and chanting of his qualities and activities. This is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. So, the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam, who is the son of Vyasadeva, the compiler of all Vedic scriptures, is saying this is the only process that's recommended. For those who won't take it, then if you can't do that, do this. So there may be another Vedic process. Well, if you can't or won't do that, then do this. Like that. But this is actually what is suggested. Even if one chants the holy name of the Lord without improper pronunciation, so of course we have to remember that Ajamil, he's on his deathbed. We don't speak eloquent English or whatever language. We don't speak eloquently with perfect pronunciation when we're crying out at the time of death in a state of panic and horror. And all our bodily functions are being, coming to ruin. So he will achieve relief from material bondage if he chants without offences. Ajamil, for example, was extremely sinful, but while dying he merely chanted the holy name. And although calling his son, he achieved complete liberation because he remembered the name of Narayan. So liberation from all sinful reactions, and of course in his next life, as we'll see, he gets the opportunity to take one more birth for the purpose of practicing the activities in relationship with the Lord to prepare for going back to the spiritual world. So I'm going to read the purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the assembly of Raghunath Das Goswami's father, Haridas Thakur confirmed that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is liberated, even if he does not chant completely inoffensively. Smarta Brahmanas, so Smarta Brahmanas are those who are very, very much like to perform all sorts of rituals, religious rituals, but they have no understanding of transcendental subject matters. And therefore, if some very elaborate rituals is not performed, they feel, well, someone has just chanted the holy names of the Lord, so nothing has happened. That is too insufficient. There must be elaborate rituals with all sorts of pots and liquids and, you know, mantras and gestures and, you know, and if that is not there going for hours and hours and hours like that, then nothing can come of it. That is their understanding like that. Ritualism. And of course, it is one of the problems that, you know, if, see, previously, in previous ages, the priests in any religion could just perform rituals and people wouldn't dare question that, why are we doing that? what are you doing? Now people will question everything. You know, you're doing this, how's it actually going to affect me? And why do you say, you know, so many different things, but people will question that. If they can't explain it, people will not be just, people will think it's foolish, something from the past which has no value, like that. But, you know, rituals can be performed, such as weddings. So all Brahmanas perform weddings. A wedding is a ritual. But it has a purpose. The purpose of a wedding is to allow a couple, any couple, to live together instead of running around the world like monkeys from one partner to the next, causing havoc, creating unwanted children. They live together, they raise children, and in that way, it is a process by which they control their mind and senses, that is self-control. It's a form of self-control. And when we control our mind and senses, it helps us then to fix our mind upon the Lord. So it has that purpose. So that purpose can be fulfilled very, you know, if that is explained to people, they find that, yes, this is very sacred and they'll take it very seriously. And then a short wedding is enough, especially if they understand the meaning. Otherwise, sometimes you'll see in India a wedding will go for, you know, 3 days or something. There's so many rituals like that, but not one person will explain the meaning of it, and therefore they don't take their marriage very seriously. So, you know, the understanding, so what happens is if that ritual is performed with proper understanding, the couple think, oh, we have connected everything we will do from this point on in family life, raising children for the pleasure of the Lord, that they will be good character people that will please the Lord and benefit the world. Everything we do will actually be connected with the Supreme, and therefore the karmic reaction of those activities is removed, removing obstacles, and the blessings of the Lord are given because it is now a sacred pact between the couple and the Lord as well, and therefore they're protected and fruitful. So when they understand that, plus they understand we've taken vows in front of the Lord, you know, between the priest, the Lord, and everyone here we respect. So that ritual stamps an impression upon their heart, which then during the difficult times of marriage, they've got, you know, they remember, there's that impression, it's this sacred stamp on their heart by which they stay together because there's something higher than just the physical or mental happiness that they're supposed to give each other. There's something far greater than that. So rituals, you know, it's not as if we just cut them all out, but, you know, the purpose must be served. But they shouldn't be performed, you know, with great pomp and ceremony, over a long period of time, especially in this day and age where people have very little time, and with no, meaning. That's the smarter brahmanas. Anyway, so therefore they don't believe in the chanting of the holy names. It has such potencies. And Mayavadis also don't believe. Mayavadis are people that believe, well, God doesn't exist. There is no person, God. So if you're chanting a name and there's no person, God, it's just a sound in this world, that has no value. So like that. But they do not believe that one can get liberation in this world. But the truth of Haridasa Thakura's statement is supported by many quotations from Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Vedas and the Srimad Bhagavatam give so many quotes to exactly corroborate this. Now, Haridasa Thakura's name is given. Haridasa Thakura is the Namacharya, or the most esteemed teacher by his teachings and practical example in this Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting. He chanted every day 300,000 names of the Lord every single day. He would not eat or sleep unless he finished those names. And so, therefore, whether there was a couple of hours there, at most, if you do the numbers, it's a lot. So he is the acharya of chanting. No one has ever been able to do that. But somehow or another, in that time that he had where he either wasn't chanting or chanting while he was doing something, he would actually go to people's homes and help them to understand, try and attract them to the Sankirtan movement, like that. So he is, Haridasa Thakura, he made this statement, but the smarter brahmanas don't accept it. But here are these evidences here. And then it says, in his commentary on the verse, for example, Sridhar Swami, on this verse, gives the following quotation: Sayam Pati Granam Bhakcha Dukkha Gramad Vimuchate. If one always chants the holy name of the Lord with great devotion in the evening and in the morning, one can become free from all material miseries. Another quotation confirms that one can achieve liberation if one hears the holy name of the Lord constantly, every day, with great respect. Anudinam idam adarena shinvan. Another quotation, and he's quoting Bhagavatam 11.3.27, Shravanam kirtanam janam hare adbhuta kamana janmakama gunanam cha tad athe kalam cheshtitam. One should always chant and hear about the extraordinarily wonderful activities of the Lord, and one should meditate upon these activities, and one should endeavour to please the Lord. Of course, if we try to please the Lord, that is very, very important in understanding any of the spiritual subject matters. We can't understand, we can't understand spiritual subject matters by just academic book knowledge. That understanding won't manifest in one's heart. So there's one verse: Atha Sri Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Graham Indriyai Sevan Mukhe Hijivado Svayam Evas Varachida. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality and pastimes of Sri Krishna through the materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord, are the transcendental name, form, quality and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. That's from the Nectar Devotion. So Prabhupada says there, the Bhagavad Gita is the science of Krishna consciousness. No one can become Krishna conscious simply by mundane scholarship. One must be fortunate enough to associate with a person who is in pure consciousness. A Krishna conscious person has realized knowledge by the grace of Krishna because he is satisfied with pure devotional service. By realized knowledge, one becomes perfect. By transcendental knowledge, one can remain steady in his convictions. But by mere academic knowledge, one can be easily deluded and confused by apparent contradictions. It is the realized soul who is actually self-controlled because he is surrendered to Krishna. He is transcendental because he has nothing to do with mundane scholarship. For him, mundane scholarship and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold to others, are of no greater value than pebbles or stone. So one may question that, should I learn this topic from a person such as Haridas Thakur, who has such control of his mind and senses that he can chant 300,000 names of the Lord in fixed meditation every day without fail? Right. If I had that, you know, if I could control my mind for 5 minutes, I'd be happy. But to have that control of the mind, I want to know, I want what he has. I'll have what he's having. Take knowledge from persons, just like you have the yoga societies, and different people who are following ritualistic processes, studying books of knowledge, but they cannot control the mind or the senses, and they cannot therefore practice what they're preaching. And of course, this again is why people are, you know, turning away sometimes. There's a saying, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. So the bathwater's dirty, chuck it out, but whoops, well, there goes the baby as well. People are becoming very, you know, if you mention something that's religious or something, and a lot of times it has a bad name because people are hypocritical. Now, Prabhupada also mentions that. I'll just see if I can find the verse. That is the name of the that's the age we live in, Kali Yuga. Where is it? I'm trying to find that. Oh yeah. It's in the same chapter, it's the next couple of verses really. Prabhupada quotes that, verses 11 and 12, and in there he says that one who is not self-controlled, whose mind is not undisturbed, cannot practice meditation. You know, religion means one fixes one's mind on God and follows God in everything they do. But one cannot do that if the mind and the senses are uncontrolled. Therefore, in the Brihan Naradiya Purana, it is said that in Kali Yuga, the present yuga or age, when people in general are short-lived, slow in spiritual realization, and always disturbed by various anxieties, the best means of spiritual realization is chanting the holy name of the Lord. And this is also given in the Vedic scriptures. Harinam, harinam, harinam eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatir anyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, see, this is an age of hypocrisy. We speak something, we teach something, we dress in one way, preach something, but our activities, our mind is uncontrolled, the senses are uncontrolled, and, you know, that is hypocritical. So that is the name, and that is everywhere. You know, people very unhappy, you know, with leaders in the world, politicians, and you know, so many different things, because you know we don't have you know, people want that. They want, as they say in India, they want Ram Raja. They want the kingdom of God that was there when Lord Ramchandra was present, but they don't want Ram. Okay? They want the kingdom of God, Ram Raja, but we don't want Ram because, you know, we want that peace, the opulence, you know, everything is wonderful, we're all protected, everything is beautiful, like that. But we don't want Ram, because Ram's telling us to control our mind and senses, to follow, you know, principles and do things properly, not in a hypocritical way. It's also, Prabhupada says, it's like the half a chicken philosophy. You know the half a chicken philosophy? Half a chicken philosophy is that we like the back part of the chicken because it lays the egg that we want, but we don't like the front part of the chicken because we have to feed it and it's too much trouble. So therefore, I'll just take the back part. So that's you know, so that is the nature of hypocrisy, is that, you know, I want the benefits of yoga, rituals, religion, morality, everything like that, but I don't want to do anything to get it. I just want to do as my mind and senses tell me at any time of the day, despite the consequences to myself or others. So, you know, that is the age of Kali. Therefore, this verse says, in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. So, coming back here to this purport, that so we're getting these different quotes. So one should endeavour to please the Lord. We should chant the holy name of the Lord and serve the holy name, chant the holy name of the Lord in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And what's pleasing to the Lord is we don't commit simple activities and we don't commit offences. Even if we're trying to do that, we will get the very wonderful benefits from the holy name, if we're just trying to do that. Which is the position of... Now, Arjamil's position was like that. He was a very sinful person, but he didn't chant that, I'll chant because it'll take away my offences and then I'll go out and commit offences. Chant, take away the reaction. Chant, he didn't think like that. He just completely forgot about God altogether. He was just calling his son's name. There was no intention to purposely counteract sinful or offensive behaviour by chanting. And therefore, he's considered offenseless, even though he was sinful. Right, so that is, and therefore, the name acted. So, Sridhar Swami also quotes from the Puranas, Papa Kshaya Chabhavati Smaratam Tam Aha Nisham. One can become free from all sinful reactions simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord day and night. So the benefit of chanting is that because we do have these uncontrolled mind and senses, that it captures the mind. So mantra means mantra. Man means the mind, tra, that which delivers the mind. So if we were all to perhaps try and control the mind by finding a quiet little corner or a little spot and we'd sit there in silent meditation, we would probably sleep quite cosily, but we would wake up with the same uncontrolled mind. Okay? But when we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and you chant in congregation with others, so many, and there's dancing, and then there's prasad, and then there's more chanting, and there's the beautiful deities, it captures the mind. automatically. Nothing else has to be done. It's not as if one has to try to become a yogi. You don't even have to try to control the mind and senses. It's automatic. It is so powerful that it's done. Mind control. The mind is just fixed on Krishna, pleasing the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Let's chant and please the Lord. Glorify the Supreme, like that. They're very, very easy. And furthermore, he quotes from Bhagavatam 6.3.31. Tajmat Sankirtanam Vishnu Jagan Mangalam Am Hasam Mahatam Abhikoravya Vijay Akantika Nishkritam. All these quotations prove that one who constantly engages in chanting and hearing of the holy names, fame and form of the Lord is liberated. As stated wonderfully in this verse, so, itavatalam agarniharanaya pumsam, simply by the uttering of the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from all sinful reactions. That easy. Let's all chant once. Krishna. Oh, you know, sinful reaction is gone. So, which brings up the question, you know, it's an interesting question that I quite often get. Then sometimes we see the people who chant the holy name, you know, if the karma is gone, why then do we see that perhaps they still act as if they're under the laws of karma instead of transcendental? And that is because of conditioning. So we're conditioned. We've followed the mind as we have in this life. Whatever the mind takes us, yes, I'm your servant. That's called Godas. Not Goswami, master of the senses, or Godas, servant of the senses. Like that. The mind is taking me here. Yes, master, I'm coming. The senses are taking me here. Oh, look at this beautiful thing, you know. Smell this, you know, eat this food, fill this belly. Oh, yes, master, I, you know. My life will be in your service, like that. Okay. So, go Swami, but by conditioning, even though the karma is being removed by the grace of the Lord, we tend to do the same things again and again. And therefore, as mentioned in the Gita, that verse I just read, one should chant the holy names of the Lord in the association of devotees. And that means that you get the strength that I want to do this, but because you're with so many other people who are doing the right thing, who are practically applying it to their life, who are beyond conditioning, then you just go with their flow. Like that. You go with the flow of the, you know, of the... You know, if you're with someone and they're a very happy person, even if you're really sad and they're full of happiness and full of bliss, you just tend to pick up on it. You can't help it, you know. It's infectious. It can fill the room, it can fill the world, you know. And if you're with all people who are sad, you know, critical, morose, whatever, you sort of, you know, get in that same rut with them, like that. So the strength of association with devotees is very, very important. That means that, you know, of course these Hare Krishna centres and the books, you know, Prabhupada, we can associate with devotees through Srila Prabhupada's books. Here we're hearing from a devotee, Sukadeva Goswami. That's association by hearing. We can come to the temples and occasionally and get some association. We can get devotees come to our homes and get some association like that. So in this way, but that is very, very powerful. But that conditioning, otherwise, even if one is chanting, not by karma, by the reactions to sinful activities, are we forced to do something which is not proper. It's by conditioning at that point. So Prabhupada gives the example that, you know, if you put a if you have a bird in a cage and you open the cage and you see these people have them in the home, the bird will just fly all around the house and even outside. I've seen it. I'm worried, oh, the bird will fly away. There goes your bird. How much that cost you? And they say, no, it'll come back. We just leave the door open. So that bird is free, but his condition. This is where I will come back to this point. I don't need to, you know. I'm conditioned for that. So, therefore, the association of devotees while chanting and learning to do things that are pleasing to the Lord, so the Lord gives realization of the glories of the holy name, chanting, one easy service that we can do is we offer our food to Krishna and we accept that as prasadam. That's called prasad sevaya. Service to the Lord, that whatever I'm cooking, I cook the foods that you like, I offer that to you, that is my seva. And my seva is also to honour the foods offered to the Lord, that is prasad seva. It can be done anywhere and anyone's home. Those practices, along with the chanting and some association of the Lord, not only remove the karma but also help one to rise above the conditioning like that. That is the process. And so the word alam, which is used in this verse, indicates that simply uttering the holy name of the Lord is sufficient. This word is used with different imports, as stated in the Amarakosha. The Amarakosha is a very, you know, the prominent dictionary of Sanskrit. Alam Bhushana Paliapti Shakti Bharana Vachakam. The word alam is used to mean ornament, sufficiency, power and restraint. Here the word alam is used to indicate that there is no need of any other process, for the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is sufficient. Even if one chants imperfectly, one becomes free from all sinful reactions of chanting. Now the difference, if one performs a ritual or performs a yogic process, if they don't do it perfectly, they don't get the result. But this is the only process by which, even if it's done imperfectly, but trying to do it properly, just trying to do it properly, but it's done imperfectly, you actually get the result. This power of chanting the holy name was proved by the liberation of Ajamil. When Ajamil chanted the holy name of Narayan, he did not precisely remember the Supreme Lord. Instead, he remembered his own son. At the time of death, Ajamila certainly was not very clean. Indeed, he was famous as a great sinner. Furthermore, one's physiological condition is completely disturbed at the time of death. And in such an awkward condition, it would certainly have been very difficult for Ajamila to have chanted clearly. Nevertheless, Ajamila achieved liberation simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, what is to be said of those who are not sinful like Ajamila? Now this is where we get to the real point. If Ajamila got that result, what if we actually try and chant nicely, properly, at that? He says, it is to be concluded that with a strong vow one should chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, for thus one will certainly be delivered from the clutches of Maya by the grace of Krishna. So one doesn't have to try and, in one sense, one doesn't have to try to deliver oneself from the illusion of material existence, the getting caught in the karmic cycle of birth and death. One doesn't have to. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, and all that will be done by Krishna. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is recommended even for persons who commit offences, because if they continue chanting, they will gradually chant offencelessly. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, so there are 10 offences. There are 10 offences, but the main couple are the devotees who chant the holy names of the Lord. One should be very careful not to offend them. One can offend them by thinking very badly of them. That's the least. But if one speaks something, especially if it's untruthful, twisted or something, against a devotee, to smear the name with the purpose of undermining a devotee, that is very offensive. Or if one physically, does something to a devotee, those things are very offensive like that. So one should avoid that one. And the second one, which is probably the most important, is committing offences on the strength of the holy name of the Lord. That, I can chant Hare Krishna. As Prabhupada says, some religions, he says, they're Sunday, Monday business. They go in, they do their confession, the holy confession, on Sunday. Monday, back to the same simple activities. So he calls it a Sunday, Monday business. That's offensive, and one should not do that. So if we avoid, especially the offences, that's very good. But if those offences are there, if one tries to chant Hare Krishna in the association of devotees who are not offensive, that will help one come to that platform like that. And now it says, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra without offences, one increases his love for Krishna. So that is the desired goal. That is the topmost goal, to learn to love God. That is. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, prema pum ato mahan, one's main concern should be to increase one's attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to increase one's love for Him. So the person who says, I'm chanting the sacred names of God, but I'm committing sinful activities and committing offences to those who are very dear to Him, that is an expression of my lack of love. There's something there, but, it's like, a married couple. If some person does the thing that the other partner, it is really offensive to them. It breaks their heart. So, it's not an expression of love, and it's an expression of a lack of love. I was talking to someone the other day that, it's an unusual incident, but in Australian culture, give an example. As a Hare Krishna movement in the early days, we didn't have any money. So if we wanted to get some flowers, we literally jumped over someone's fence, grabbed some flowers and brought them back. But, Aussies don't think much about that sort of thing. So, it was just something everyone did. I tried to ask the people, but they would never give them. People are very miserly, they're really hard-hearted. But sometimes I would, but very rarely. They're my flowers, And who is this Krishna? So, we don't need to do that anymore. Right? Krishna sent money. We have plenty of flowers. And we share our flowers with everyone in the neighbourhood. Come and get some Maha flowers like that. But sometimes, some of the Aussies might still do that when there's no real need. And but I know a couple of times I've seen, in a couple of times, when I was in, so for instance, when I was in Adelaide, a very senior devotee, he just got married to this person from the Asian background. Now, Asian background, if you steal something, it's like you've killed them. You've put a knife through them. So he's literally just got married. He'd just been married for a few days. They go off on their honeymoon. He stops the car. So you go, what are you doing? I'll be back in a minute. He jumps over the fence, grabs an apple out of the orchard, jumps back in the car, and she's heartbroken. She actually left him. All right? Now, I'm telling you this because they take it so seriously. Now he's trying to, you know, explain it with some philosophy. I was for Krishna and this, that and the other, and you know, there'll be no sinful reaction. But she's like, no, you stole something, right? So the thing was that he may, you know, whatever the philosophy is, right or wrong, you can't break your partner's heart. You know, if there's love there, you say, okay, you know, what does it matter? You know, I'll buy the apple next time. You know, how much is an apple? You know, am I going to lose my partner, you know, for what, a 20 cent apple? You know, it comes down to some. But if there's no love there, one may be prepared. You know, there's a problem. Are we, what, you know, if we want to chant the holy names of the Lord, are we prepared to, okay, I'll stop this simple activity, I'll stop this, you know, I won't be offensive, like that. Now, when we chant like that, you get love of God. You've got love of God. You don't have to wait. It's there. So, just to finish this purport, and then we can have a couple of questions. This verse is, it's Canto 6, Chapter 3, Text 24. It's a wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. I'm trying to do a little justice. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.24. Evam dama manushyanam udavatamani vedinam mayi sanjayate bhakti kunyo rato shavasishyate. My dear Uddhava, the supreme religious system for human society is that by which one can awaken his dormant love for me. Commenting on this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the word bhakti by saying, premai bhakta ka anya ata asha. In the presence of bhakti, what is the necessity of liberation? So if we have love of God, why do you need liberation? It has no value to someone on that platform. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also quotes this, so that is the real purpose, therefore, of chanting or any religious process, is love of God. He quotes from the Padma Purana, Nama parad yuktanam namanyiva haranchagam avishanti prayuktani tanyivata kadani cha. Even if in the beginning one chants the Hare Krishna mantra with offences, one will become free from such offences by chanting again and again. So merciful is the holy name, so merciful. Of course, Prabhupada mentions, though, that there'll be reactions to it, and it slows down one's progress. And we quote every morning, Bahulam Jamna, that if one commits offences while chanting the holy names of the Lord, they cannot get love of God. So it really slows down. So one cannot get love of God until one comes to the point of being purified of the reactions of those offences, and then chanting offenselessly, then one can get love of God. So it's a real obstacle which can set one back some lifetimes with a lot of difficulty to clear out those offences. But if one keeps chanting, even in this lifetime, one can come to the offenseless stage. Babakshayasya babati smaratam tam maha nisham. One becomes free from all sinful reactions if one chants day and night, following the recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who quoted the following verse, and here's this verse again. So twice. Harinam, harinam, eva kevalam. Harinam, 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 eva kevalam. Yes. Kalona steva, nesteva, nesteva, gatira, nyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. If the members of the Krishna consciousness movement strictly follow, this recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their position will always be secure. So, if you want to be stable and fully protected due to your love of God in this world, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offencelessly. As often as you can. I'll leave it there. If anyone has any questions, comments on this, anything I've said. Any questions? Anyone satisfied? Any smarter Brahmanas or Mayavadis? No? No, that's good. Thank you very much for your